You might have missed it on Christmas morning. The James Webb Space Telescope was launched into space. It's got a long journey where it's headed. Let's find out more about it from Mike Wall, senior writer at space.com. Hey, Mike, how are you tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it. So the James Webb Space Telescope has been a long time coming. This is the replacement for the Hubble telescope. What is the big difference that we're going to see between the two?
Yeah, well, this one looks in like different wavelengths of like of light. Actually, I mean, Hubble, people are probably familiar with all those beautiful pictures Hubble has been sending home for 30 years, and that's mainly in like the sort of optical wavelengths and also ultraviolet. So a lot of the wavelengths we can see with our own eyes, but actually James Webb is going to be seeing infrared light, which is heat basically. So we can't see that. I mean, rattlesnakes can and some other animals can, but we can't. And what this is exciting, just because it'll allow it to peer back into the very early universe, because the universe has been expanding ever since it was created 13.8 billion years ago. And as it's been expanding, it's been stretching the light out from the first stars and galaxies from the optical wavelengths into the infrared. So James Webb will be able to see this light that the first stars emitted that has been stretched into the infrared wavelengths by the expansion of the universe.
So we're going to see further back in time than we were able to with Hubble. They put out a really cool packet about the Webb Space Telescope, and it showed Hubble's limit. So we have their timeline to the past has present day, back to modern galaxies form, back to the first galaxies form, back to the first stars form, and to the Big Bang. And Hubble's mm-hmm. limit reached to modern galaxies form, but they're saying Webb's limit will go all the way through first galaxies forming, petering out just before it looks like first stars forming. So we're going to see much deeper back. And what does that mean for us? What are we going to be able to find out if everything works right?
Yeah, we're going to be able to tell what the universe looked like in its very, very early days, when the first galaxies started coming together. And that'll tell scientists a lot about how the universe took shape and grew, and how sort of galaxies take shape and grow and stars. And that's not the only thing, there are going to be other things too. Like it's going to be able to peer into the atmospheres of like nearby alien planets and sort of sniff for really interesting compounds in the atmosphere. I mean, maybe even things that could be produced by life. And infrared light also, it's a long wavelength of light, so it's good at kind of getting through clouds of dust and gas, which are common through the universe. So it'll also be able to kind of look into these clouds of dust and gas that are where stars form and where planets form. So it'll be able to get like a better view into those like star-making factories, planet-making factories than like Hubble has been able to do too.
So it sounds like it's going to find a lot more information on things that we know about. We know that there's all these galaxies. We know there's habitable planets in a lot of, in pretty much near every star, it seems, that they found one or two that maybe not Earth-like, but where life could form in some way, shape, or form. So we're going to find out a lot more about that. Is there something particular they're hoping to find out that they don't know hardly anything about right now? Are there going to be any surprises?
Well, I would say that, the exoplanet stuff is going to be a very big leap, because we don't really have the capability now to analyze these atmospheres, even of like nearby alien planets. We just don't have the equipment that can do that very well right now. So James Webb will be able to make like real pioneering steps in like that direction. I mean, we've been able to kind of sniff a few common chemicals in the air of some alien planets, water vapor and stuff like that, which is really cool. That's something Hubble has been able to do, but nothing in detail. They're not finding like organic chemicals and stuff like that. And that's something Webb could actually do. And it'll be like Hubble too, in that it's going to be like a very multi-purpose observatory. Scientists are going to apply for observing time on it and use it for like a million different things, just like they do with Hubble. And there'll be lots of stuff that they'll do like in our own solar system, studying like the moons of Jupiter, studying Neptune, studying Pluto, all this sort of thing. It's just really hard to predict what exactly is going to be the coolest thing it's going to do, just because it's going to do a million different things.
So when we go to look at life on other planets, right now they're determining, could there be water, or is there oxygen, different things like that. Are they ever, because I know that, you know, we're never going to get close enough to see that there's man-made light or things like that, right? We're never going to get close enough with telescopes to figure out actual intelligent life, so-called, right? Is it possible that when they're, you know, there's all these other elements that they're able to study and find out that planets are putting off, are there any just purely man-made type elements that if they could study a place far away and say, wait a minute, they're putting that out into the atmosphere, that means that that's not naturally occurring, that had to be acted upon, that had to be, that has to mean there's something else going on that planet?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There are probably a few that are like that, like any kind of like industrial pollutant that we make here on Earth, you know, something like fantastically complicated that just doesn't arise on its own, that, you know, we only make that only gets into our air from factory towers and stuff like that because we have to make it. There are things like that. Scientists have proposed looking for these like industrial chemicals, which could be signs of an industrial civilization. And that if like we found something like that, you know, like some of these industrial pollutants that we've been spewing into the air, if we find that in the air of another planet, that would probably be a pretty good guide that there's something there, that there's something alive there. But it's just really interesting. It's like you were saying earlier, you know, I mean, it's going to be really hard to get an up-close look at these worlds. I don't know that it's never going to happen. There are scientists working now. There's this project Breakthrough Starshot where scientists are trying to design, like, these little probes that would have these light sails, and they get accelerated to, like, 20% the speed of light with a laser beamed from Earth, and they could conceivably get to some of these nearby star systems and actually get photos of kind of close by exoplanets. That there are people working on that. I mean, it's probably not going to happen before like 2050, if it happens at all, but it's not like never going to happen. I wouldn't say. I'm optimistic that at least in the next half century or so, we actually will have the technology to be able to get good photos of some exoplanets.
So I shouldn't expect that from this telescope, though. In the next 6 years, you're not going to go, hey, Matt, you know what? They're going to find life on other planets because of this. That's hoping for a bit too much, I guess.
Well, yeah, but what it'll do is it'll give us more information. It'll probably spur some debates about like whether there's life somewhere or not. I mean, that's a whole nother question, is what constitutes like a slam dunk discovery, right? Because I mean, we've like seen this just recently. I mean, if some of your listeners have been following the whole Venus phosphine debate, you know, scientists discovered this chemical called phosphine in the atmosphere of Venus like a year or so ago. And it seems like they like wrote in their paper, they can't imagine another way that it could be produced and maintained in Venus's air except for life. But then other scientists came along and are like, well, actually, you didn't think about this mechanism. So that there'll be a lot of that. Like, I mean, I can conceive of a future where James Webb sees like methane and water vapor and oxygen in the air of an exoplanet. And some scientists are like, that's life. I think that's a slam dunk. And there are others who are like, no, it could be produced by this. So that's the kind of frontier that we're going to open up. There's going to be a lot more information, but also a lot more kind of debate and controversy about what it all means.
Is there going to be confirmation, or is that what it's going to be, Michael? Is that we're going to get to a place where we can define, yeah, there are these things here, which means there could be life, but both sides are going to be able to say, it means there could be, doesn't mean there is because of these things.
Yeah, that's really what I don't think anybody knows the answer to that. It's going to be like an argument, right? That's what science is. People put their evidence forward and say, this is my interpretation of it. And other scientists will disagree and try to knock it down. That's how it works, right? And I don't know how are we going to decide whether this is a confirmation, whether a certain observation is a confirmation. Maybe 90% of scientists will think so, but 10% won't. Is that enough? That's something we're going to have to grapple with as we go forward, because that might be how we detect alien life. It's like 95% of scientists think so and 5% don't. I mean, that's probably a likely scenario.
So we only have a minute and a half left, but I know that when we talk about finding life on other planets, I know James Webb is going to help us find out about a lot of other stars and about the planets around them and if they could possibly support life, but it's not going to tell us they are doing that necessarily. At least it's going to be debated if they do. What is the most likely scenario to where we ever confirm other life? Is it, you know, radio waves that we pick up? Is it going to be through pictures like this? What is the possibility in our lifetime of ever confirming that? What's the most likely scenario if that were to happen?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I'm pretty bullish on us finding life, just because life started on Earth really early on. So it seems like it's not that hard for it to happen. I mean, pretty much as soon as Earth cooled down enough to host liquid water oceans and stuff, that's when the first microfossils turn up. So that seems to suggest that it's not that hard for it to happen. And I actually, there are planets in our own solar system that were good homes for life billions of years ago and still are. I personally suspect that we have a good chance of finding evidence of Mars life, not current Mars life, but Mars life that existed like 3.5 billion years ago. What the Perseverance rover is doing now, and it's collecting samples to send home to Earth in 2031 or so, I would not be shocked if there is some pretty good evidence of ancient Mars life in some of the samples that Perseverance collects. So it's not a guarantee, it's just a guess, but I'm pretty optimistic.
Michael Wall is a senior writer at space.com. Follow them for all sorts of fun information on our travels and discoveries in space. Michael, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for jumping on the phone.
Sure thing. Always good to talk to you, too.